This is the Word of God found in 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, starting with the first two verses. 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verses 1 and 2. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Isn't it encouraging to read words like that? Here was one of those kings descended from David, to whom God had given such a great promise that there would not fail a man of David to sit upon the throne forever. And there didn't. There continued to be kings of Judah until the captivity, continued to be descendants of that family that were in leadership capacities, and concluded in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, descended from David through both his biological mother, Mary, and through the kings to Mary's husband, though he was not Jesus' biological father, Joseph. Joseph and Mary were both descended from David. And the Lord Jesus Christ conquered sin and death, and he sits on the throne forever. So God's promise is fulfilled. It's a practical lesson to us, as we've mentioned before, because the scripture teaches us that Jesus Christ has washed his children in his blood and made them kings and priests unto God. So, child of God, you, in a very real sense, more real than the kings of this world, are kings and priests. And you have been washed by grace in the blood of Jesus Christ and given the ability to offer acceptable sacrifices and praise to God as a priest, to rule over yourself as a king. And Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the High Priest. But we go through these kings of Judah who were enjoying this promise, and we look and say, what sort of king were they during their reign? And the question goes to you too. What sort of king are you during your life upon the earth? Some of these kings were terrible. Hezekiah, that we're reading about, his dad Ahaz was awful. He was awful. He worshiped false gods and brought the worship of false gods not only into Judah, but into the temple itself. Even chopped the brazen oxen from below the molten sea that Solomon had constructed and set it up on a pavement of stone so that he could do other things with the brass. He was such a bad king that many of the people of Judah were slain and many of them were just taken captive. And so he, through his idolatry and his wickedness, Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, brought the nation to a place of great wickedness and great weakness. They were just terribly weak. And the sad thing is he had inherited a strong kingdom. But through his departure from the service of God, and his enthusiasm to serve the gods of this world, the false gods, he had brought his nation and himself to a place of not only wickedness, but of great weakness as well. So that's the kingdom Hezekiah inherited. He comes to the throne at 25. His mother's name was Abijah, or Abby, as it says in one other place of the Bible. Lets me know that Abijah can be the name for a man or a woman in Scripture, because one of Hezekiah's ancestors was named Abijah. I do believe, starting with Rehoboam as the first, that Hezekiah is the 12th king over Judah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That's so good to hear. It's not only good to hear from the Bible, it's good when you know a child of God that does that here in this world, isn't it? Don't you just rejoice when you've had friends or family members, they go on to be with the Lord, and you think, you know, they really touched my life in a good way, and they left me strengthened. by the way they lived and the choices they made. Well, that's the kind of person that Hezekiah was. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. Now, David makes some mistakes in his reign. So does Hezekiah. We'll see that. But all in all, he's a good king. Let's see specifically. I plan to read three chapters, including these two. 87 verses is my text. I'll read through it pretty swiftly in some cases. A lot of names are mentioned. But look at the lessons of why this man did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and how it helped. Let's go on in verse 3. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. So this is something that's a priority with Hezekiah. He's just now come to the throne. It's the very first 30 days of his reign. He's 25 years old, and he's within the first 30 days. And notice what he does. He opens the doors of the house of the Lord and repairs them. He lets people know that the house of the Lord is a place where they are welcome to come and worship the true and living God. He opens them and he repairs them. It's a lesson to us as individuals and as a church. You know, what kind of shape is our welcome in? Do we prepare ourselves to welcome children of God? And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. Here's another thing about such a good leader. He brings people together. And so it doesn't mean everybody likes him, because they don't. But he has a tendency to make people welcome and to bring people together for good. And said unto them, Hear now, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. There's going to have to be some repentance. There's going to have to be getting rid of some things. There's a lot of nastiness in the house of God. Why? Because his dad had put him there. Remember? He brought in this great altar that he had seen in Damascus and had one built like it, and shoved the altar, the real altar of the Lord, off to the side and said, Now when we sacrifice, we're going to bring it to this big new altar that I built that's like the gods of Damascus. But whenever I need to pray and inquire of the Lord, I'm going over here to the original one that God had Solomon put in. And so he brought in a lot of stuff that was for the worship of false gods, and it was filthy. It was nasty. And so the whole house of God is in disrepair and filth, and the first job is to open the doors and fix them, make them known they're welcome, get them together and say, there's a lot of nastiness we need to get rid of. And that's true for us as individuals, true for us as a church, true for us as families. There's a how welcoming, how together, and what things do we need to get rid of out of our lives. Now, go in with verse 6. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as you see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Hezekiah is not sugarcoating this. He's basically saying, look, we have had in this generation here, the generation preceding us, a lot of sin. They've turned their backs on the Lord. They haven't worshiped Him. They've forsaken Him. They've shut up the doors of the porch, so they've made the temple of the Lord an unwelcome place, a nasty place. And they haven't sacrificed, so they haven't really worshiped the true and living God. And for that reason, God's anger is upon our nation. And it's such that a lot of folks that we knew, our fathers, have fallen by the sword. We've lost a lot of people to just death. And then a lot, it says, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. We've still got loved ones alive that are slaves somewhere else. And the reason why is because we and our fathers, he particularly mentions the fathers, but we've quit worshiping God according to the scriptures. No wonder so many of our loved ones are gone or suffering. So Hezekiah lays that out before them. But he doesn't just leave it there with a criticism. He's gathered them together. Says, get ready. We got some cleanup to do. We're in trouble. There's been a lot of sin and everything. But he doesn't just point out the trouble and leave it there. He goes on with a direction to help things. Verse 10. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. You, Levites, you priests, things are bad. It's been a lot of turning away from the Lord, but you're still chosen. You've got a job in serving God. Verse 12, what happens? Then the Levites arose, Mahath, the son of Amasai, and Joel, the son of Azariah, of the sons of the Kohathites, and of the sons of Merari, Kish, the son of Abdi, and Azariah, the son of Jehalelel, and of the Gershonites, Joah, the son of Zimah, and Eden, the son of Joah, and of the sons of Elizaphan, Shimri, and Jael, and of the sons of Asaph, Zechariah, and Mattaniah, and of the sons of Heman, Jehiel, and Shimei, and of the sons of Jeduthun, Shemaiah and Uzziel. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came, according to the commandment of the king, by the words of the Lord, to clean the house of the Lord. They gathered together for a cleanup day. Sound familiar? Sometimes we need to do that. That's what they did here. Verse 16. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify. And on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month they made an end. So they worked intensely for an 8-day period, got a lot done. They're making a big difference in the temple. And they went in to Hezekiah the king and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering with all the vessels thereof and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. So they're saying, okay, king, we got busy. We've been working 8 days. We've cleaned everything up. We've got the altar in place, and we've got all the uncleanness out. And we found a lot of the vessels that your dad threw out that were really the vessels prepared for the worship of God in the days of Solomon. And we found a lot of those and brought them, and we've got them sitting before the altar. So they're available to use, as we did in the days when we were serving the true and living God. Verse 20. Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bullocks, and the priest received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, when they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They killed also the lambs, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. And they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them. And the priest killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and psalteries and with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad the king's seer and Nathan the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priest with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of the offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praises unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. A brother made a point during the association, the preacher, I never noticed here. They had the instruments of David. They had the cymbals. They had the trumpets and everything. And as they were offering the sacrifice, they sang and they sounded with all these musical instruments. But when the sacrifice was complete, they just sang. There's a lesson for us today. One of the reasons that we don't have musical instruments is the sacrifice is complete. We've been pointing forward to that during the law worship in the Old Testament. Up to that point, it was appropriate to use those musical instruments. They were ordained. But when the sacrifice is complete, you just use the instruments God has made. You sing. And so that's what happened here. Verse 31. Then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord." And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. These are different sacrifices. These are individual ones. They made the ones there for the nation and for the house of God, but now these people bring individual sacrifices. We're commanded that too. Jesus Christ has made an end of sacrifice for redemption and atonement. That's complete when he said it is finished. But now the Bible tells you as priest to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You don't offer a sacrifice in order to atone for your sins. Christ finished that. You don't offer a sacrifice to redeem your soul, because Jesus Christ finished that. You know what your sacrifice is for? It's for thanksgiving and gratitude to God. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And you don't present your bodies a sacrifice in order to die. You present them there as a living sacrifice. That is to come and worship God in gratitude and love. And that's what Hezekiah bade the people of Judah that were in that area to do, and they did it. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks and 100 rams and 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended and until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. They had a shortage of priests, like today. Sometimes we have a shortage of preachers, of pastors. But here's these Levites, their brethren. They were authorized to offer sacrifice. And they were more diligent to sanctify themselves and prepare themselves to work. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. That's the end of chapter 29. And notice what a blessing here. I think the whole message probably end up with the title Hezekiah. But for this chapter, I'd have to say this was a good welcome repair. They repaired the doors, then they cleansed the house of the Lord. They brought in the things that should be there and took out the things that shouldn't be there. And then they didn't just say, well, we've got it all fixed up the way that it was in the days of Solomon. Isn't that great? No, they decided, we've got this now, we need to worship. Now that we've got the house of God in order, we need to do in the house of God what it's there for. We need to worship God. So they brought the sacrifices. They had the praise. Then they brought these free will and individual offerings. There it started. So not only was the house of God repaired and cleansed, it was used for its proper use. They were worshiping it. So we had a good welcome repair. That's how this young man started his reign. 25 years old, came to the throne, and in the first month he said, we need to fix the doors, open the doors, clean the place up, start worshiping God as we should. Now let's keep going into chapter 30. And I'll call this one a good big meeting. Something that may have escaped your notice as we read through 29. Hezekiah insists that the prayers be made for all Israel. This was more than just his reign. He just reigned over Judah, the kingdom to the south. The nation to the north, the 10 tribes, they were going through a hard time. The Assyrian Empire was coming down and had removed some kings. And during this period here, the Assyrians will come down and besiege Samaria and take it and distribute lots of people through, you know, scatter a lot of the Israelites through the land. So even though they've been an enemy to Judah in some occasions, Hezekiah is not trying to get together with the king and ally himself with bad kings like his ancestor Jehoshaphat did. He is just concerned about the people there. He's not trying to join up the two governments. He's going to rule over his kingdom as he's been charged to do. But he's got a concern there, and he's asking for people to offer up sacrifices for all Israel. So he's, you could say, staying in his lane, minding his own business, but he's reaching out for others because he cares about them. There's a sacrifice for all Israel. Let's see how that translates into action in chapter 30. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel, and his princes, and all the congregation in Jerusalem, to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. What were they doing in the first month when the Passover is supposed to be held? Well, we read about it there in chapter 29. They were still cleaning up the place. Couldn't be used and everything. They were cleaning up the place. Somebody might say, wait a minute, the Passover is supposed to be the first month. Is this not against the commandment of the Lord? Are they winging it? Are they making up worship? No, go back and read in Numbers chapter 9. God made a provision that if anybody could not keep the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, they were allowed to keep it the 14th day of the second month when they would be clean again. And so Hezekiah is looking back and he is taking advantage of this provision that was in the law. Should they have kept it in the first month? Yes, if they could, but they couldn't. So now they're still keeping the law. They're planning a the house of the Lord's cleaned up. They've been worshiping in it. They've been using it. It's worshiped as they should. And now they're having a Passover in the makeup month, in the second month. And not only is Judah having it, they're inviting their brothers from the other tribes, the ones that have not been carried away into captivity or killed by the Assyrians. They're saying, just come down and worship with us. We're holding a Passover in the makeup month, in the second month. Come be with us. Verse 4, and the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So the posts went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if ye turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. He's sending messages and letters up through all these tribes saying, come and worship with us. Turn back to God. He'll bless in ways you probably don't even understand. He's able to give those of your loved ones that are hauled away captive mercy in the sight of their captors. He's just that great a God. So turn again to him. Verse 10. So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Okay, most of these messengers, they delivered the messages to these people that are in a low place. A lot of their loved ones are captive. They just laugh. Yeah, what kind of great God? Look what he's let happen. Carried my family off into captivity. Samaria's all broken up, been besieged. Yeah, sure, I'm going to make that long trip all the way down to Jerusalem and worship that. It's uphill to Jerusalem, even if it's in the south. They just laughed at him. It was just a scornful. So that's a lesson to us. You may welcome a lot of people, and they won't take it seriously. Just be ready for that. That's what they're running into. But listen to the next verse. Nevertheless, diverse of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. Not everybody laughed at these messengers. May not have been an overwhelming success, but different kind of people, diverse people, in Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun, they listened to it and they humbled themselves and they thought, that's what I need to do. I need to turn back to God. And I'll make that long trip to Jerusalem and the temple that generations of my forefathers have not even been to. I'm going to go worship the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. And so they got ready for the long trip and they went down. What was happening with Hezekiah's own people, Judah? God gave them one heart. They were unified. They were together. They were ready to receive these visitors. They're not ready to look down on them or criticize them, because in the past generation, they've gone through the same thing. They had turned away from God. Their fathers had turned away from God. Now they're asking for the help of God, and they're ready to welcome these folks that are coming from a distance. Verse 13. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense took they away and cast them into the brook Kidron. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood which they received of the hand of the Levites, for there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean, to sanctify them unto the Lord. So the priests and Levites realized, wow, we hadn't even got ourselves ready. This is a bigger crowd than we're ready to minister to. We got a lot of sacrifices to make. We should have prepared ourselves better than we did. They were kind of ashamed that they weren't ready for this great revival that's going on. And so they scramble around to help do what they can. Verse 18, for a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. A lot of these people coming from other lands, they had not been living according to the law of Moses. They hadn't been to the temple for generations. And they hadn't cleansed themselves. There's so many things in the law that could cause an Israelite to be unclean. If he had touched a dead body and not cleansed himself, the menstrual blood, the seed of copulation from man, there's a number of different kinds of unclean meats that you could eat. There's a number of things that could happen that would make you unclean in worshiping for the temple. Well, these folks had just come into town. A lot of them were not prepared. They were not clean. They were not ready for worship. And that's dangerous, to worship God and you haven't prepared yourself according to his word. And a lot of these folks hadn't. And Hezekiah is looking on them in mercy. Here they are, taken of the Passover, and they're not clean according to the law. And Hezekiah cries out to God for mercy. The good Lord, have mercy. Pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God. These folks are seeking God. They're not ready. They're not clean. But they're seeking God. Oh God, pardon them. Pardon them for their mistakes. And the Lord hears the prayer of Hezekiah and heals them. Whatever plagues or things they normally would have gotten, the Lord shows his mercy and showers it on these people. Verse 21. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, and they kept other 7 days with gladness. After they finished the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they said, this has been such a great time. Let's keep on for another 7 days. So they just stayed together for 2 weeks, worshiping God and being together with the fellowship. Verse 24, for Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. And the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. And a great number of priests sanctified themselves. Okay, now we've got this big crowd from all these other tribes. We need to feed them. Hezekiah was not only dedicated in trying to have the worship of God, he was generous. Look at there, he personally, out of his own flocks and herds, he gave 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep. And so now his princes, They give two, so they come up with another 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep. So they got 2,000 bulls and 17,000 sheep to feed all of these guests. And that's what they do. So they can stay together and have fellowship and worship another 7 days. Verse 25, and all the congregation of Judah, with the priests and the Levites, and all the congregation that came out of Israel, and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel, and that dwelt in Judah, rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Now, brothers and sisters, there's a revival. There's a revival. People, some of them laugh at you, but some of them come and they humble themselves and they don't know a lot about how to worship. And so there's a great need for mercy. And they worship as best they can. There's generosity on the part of the king and the princes. They're together. The people want to stay together. They add another 7 days of fellowship on there. And so there they feed them all and they're together. And the priests and Levites are leading the worship. And how effective was their prayer? It came all the way up to heaven. So that's a good big meeting. I don't have much time, but let me get chapter 31. A good daily habit. They've had their great repair. Welcome, everybody. They've had their great big meeting. Good revival. Prayers reaching to heaven. What happens next? Chapter 31, verse 1. Now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and brake the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin, in Ephraim also and Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned, every man to his possession, into their own cities. One thing that you'll notice in chapter 29, they threw the idols and uncleanness out of the temple. In chapter 30, they threw the idols and unclean things out of Jerusalem. Here in chapter 31, they go through a whole nation of Judah and get rid of idols and unclean things. Starts with the house of God. Next it comes to the city. Next it comes to the nation. Verse 2, and Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priest and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priest and Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. He appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings, to wit, for the morning and evening burnt offerings and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths and for the new moons and for the set feasts, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. So Hezekiah is saying, okay, we've had a great meeting. We need to have an ongoing daily habit of worship now. We don't want to run short of priests and Levites like we did for this last meeting. So we're setting it up, and you fellows, keep yourself sanctified. You have ongoing preparation to do the work of God. And also, we're going to have sacrifices, as the law of Moses says, not just Passover. We're going to have the new moon feast. That's every month. Not only that, we're going to have the sacrifice of the Sabbath. That's every week. And oh, by the way, we're going to have the morning and the evening sacrifice. That's every day, twice a day. And since all these priests and Levites are doing all this stuff and they're working at it to praise God and serve him as the law says every day, you folks need to support these guys, and so bring it in as the law says. So Hezekiah is saying, we don't just need one big repair and one big meeting. We need a day-by-day worship and service to God. It needs to be a daily habit. So he sets it up, and it starts. Verse 5, and as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance, the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. In the third month they began to lay the foundation of the heaps, and finished them in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, "Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty, for the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store." Well, what did the people do? They started bringing in their tithes, the tenths, and they started in the, what was it, third month, and they kept on going to the seventh month, and they had so much store they had to lay it up. Think about serving. And so the priest there says, since you've started this, the people started this, we've had plenty, and you know, we've got all of this in reserve here too. So there was a great outpouring of generosity. Verse 11, then Hezekiah commanded to prepare chambers in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them and brought in the offerings and the tithes and the dedicated things faithfully, over which Conaniah the Levite was ruler, and Shimei his brother was the next, and Jehiel and Azaziah and Nahath and Asahel and Jeremoth and Jozabad and Eliel and Ismachiah and Mahath and Benaiah were overseers under the hand of Conaniah and Shimei his brother, at the commandment of Hezekiah the king and Azariah the ruler of the house of God. And Koreh the son of Imnah the Levite, the porter toward the east, was over the freewill offerings of God to distribute the oblations of the Lord and the most holy things. And next to him were Eden and Miniamin and Jeshua and Shemaiah, Amariah and Shechaniah in the cities of the priest in their set office to give to their brethren by courses, as well to the great as to the small, beside their genealogy of males from 3 years old and upward, even unto everyone that entereth into the house of the Lord, his daily portion for their service in their charges according to their courses, both to the genealogy of the priest by the house of their fathers, and the Levites from 20 years old and upward, in their charges by their courses, and to the genealogy of all their little ones, their wives, and their sons, and their daughters, through all the congregation, for in their set office they sanctified themselves in holiness. Also, of the sons of Aaron the priest, which were in the fields of the suburbs of their cities, in every several city, the men that were expressed by name, to give portions to all the males among the priests, and to all that were reckoned by genealogies among the Levites. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. So here they got these heaps. Hezekiah's thinking, well, we need to not waste this material here. All these people have been so generous, so they prepare these chambers and they're able to store it up and use it. Not only that, there's enough that it goes out to the priests that are not in Jerusalem. They're in other towns living in the priest's place, their suburbs that the Levites lived in. So this worship, this daily worship, not only takes place there in Hezekiah's city, Jerusalem, but it spreads throughout the country. And so they begin to worship according to the law of God. They're not having to sacrifice their children to idols. They're not having to sacrifice all this wealth to false gods. They're prospering because God's commandments are reasonable. They're not grievous. And so the people find themselves prospering in their dedication and their generosity on an ongoing daily basis. That's why I call chapter 29 a good welcome repair. Chapter 30 is a good big meeting. Chapter 31 is a good daily habit. And that should be something in our life. What's the message about Jesus Christ, which is the reason for preaching before I sit down here? Jesus Christ died for all his children, and sometimes they have periods in their lives where they're not very good kings. Sometimes wickedness makes them weak, as it did in Judah here. But notice, Hezekiah has seen a repentance and revival in one generation. Just in his day. Just in the early part of his reign. And there's something that every child of God needs to realize. Is that because the Lord Jesus Christ died for their sins, and because he has separated their transgressions from them as far as the east is from the west, by putting away their sins when he died on the cross, the power that's within them, by the new birth which he has purchased, the Holy Spirit within them, is they are able to turn from the most grievous of sins. And they may find themselves in a place that's so weak and so low, and their wickedness may seem to be so great, but I want you to know it's not beyond the power of God. Not beyond the power of God for them to turn, to clean up, to worship, and to grow strong and prosperous. That is the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he has not lost any power from the year that he walked the earth to the time of 2024. He still sits on the throne, and he sits on the throne as the high priest that we can come to him for mercy and grace to help in time of need. He's not changed. The God that lived in the olden days is still the same today. Let's take a lesson and gain hope from this story of Hezekiah. Did they know about Jesus Christ in the gospel? Of course not. Not the name, not the revelation of what the Lord would do. But the one that lived in their hearts that caused them to turn back to God was none other than Jesus Christ. So they may not have known his name, but they knew him, and they knew that the God, that the inner voice within them by the new birth said, this is the true and living God, that it was a good thing to serve him, and they did, and they found it was good. Such was the power within their hearts placed there by the grace of our Lord Jesus. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, dear God, thank you for occasion to gather together and worship. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to do that in peace. Lord, we've had it throughout our lives, and Father, we've probably taken it for granted. Forgive us. Help us to repent. Help us, dear Lord, to take the things out of our lives that should not be there. Help us, dear Father, to make a warm welcome to our brothers and sisters, and that we might turn to thee, Lord. Help us to humble ourselves, pray, seek thy face, and turn from our wicked ways. For we know that you're faithful, Lord, in restoration. And Lord, thank you for feeding us, clothing us, and giving us the hope of life everlasting. Thank you for these loved ones gathered here today. Oh God, thank you for your word and preserving it and making it easily accessible to us, Lord. Not everyone has that privilege. But Lord, you've been so good to us. Please accept our thanks, our praise. Give us your Holy Spirit and your wisdom. And Lord, we want to praise you better. Please show yourselves, Lord, close. Manifest yourself. Be in a way that's near such that we can feel it. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.